Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. To think that Christ is praying for us, and then to ask, well, what is he praying? We don't have to guess. He gave us a chapter's worth, and as I said, we could rightfully dig in and just enjoy all that he's praying for us, but I'm going to just focus our attention today on this request that he's praying for his own. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Stop and just mull this over, ponder it. Christ is praying for your sanctification, believer.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we turn to a message from the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Sanctified by God's Word. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
I want to talk about God's Word because he has spoken, and we need to be exhorted, I believe, regularly to spend time in his Word. I want you to turn. Somebody asked me, are you getting back to Hebrews? And I said, I shall return, but not today. But actually, Hebrews, I just quoted it, and Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, and we'll get back to Hebrews. But today, I want you to turn to John 17. And you know, the theme, a theme of Hebrews is that we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. And when I have you turn to John 17, and we just have those words in our mind, speak, Lord, for listening. We want to hear. Lord, we ask you to speak to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. The last verse of chapter 16, it's been on my heart. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Jesus spoke these words right on the eve of the cross. He is going to lay his life down for you and me. And he called his men together and he gave them great instruction. And then he said, these things I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. And we still do, don't we? If all you do is listen to the news or watch what's going on, it's a frightening, messed up, fearful, dark, confused world. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. I love those words, and they've been on my mind quite a bit recently. And then you have an amazing feast. And I say feast because God wrote for us the 17th chapter. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And then you have from, well, the whole chapter, you have the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who created all things, praying for us. It's an amazing privilege to look at it. And we could spend weeks and weeks, rightfully so, in the 17th chapter. But today I'm going to zero in on one request he made. Look at verse 17 of chapter 17. And let me remind you, he is praying right now for you and me. He always lives, Hebrews teaches, to make intercession. He always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. If you have drawn near to God through Christ, if you are coming to God only on the blood of Jesus Christ, banking not on your life, not on this church, not on anything you've done or said or could do, but banking on what Jesus Christ did for you, if you're drawing near to God through him, in other words, if you're a Christian, then he's praying for you. If you haven't, I pray that you will. There's no better day than the first Sunday in the new year to come to Jesus than today and realize what he did for you. But if you haven't come to him, I have no guarantee that he's praying for you. But if you'll come to him, Jesus said in this chapter, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those whom you've given me out of the world. And if you will draw near to God through him, you can enjoy every phrase of this prayer that's being prayed for you and me, even as we speak. Now, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. To think that Christ is praying for us, and then to ask, well, what is he praying? We don't have to guess. He gave us a chapter's worth. And as I said, we could rightfully dig in and just enjoy all that he's praying for us. But I'm going to just focus our attention today on this request that he's praying for his own. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Stop and just mull this over. Ponder it. Christ is praying for your sanctification, believer, for my sanctification. We get the word, in fact, the word is holy or holiness. Sanctification is to be set apart. Justin opened it up for us last week in Ephesians 4, to be set apart to him. And his goal for you and me is that we would be sanctified. And so what you have here is really a simple statement of his desire for you and me. And we could say in the new year, because this is his eternal purpose for you and me. He wants to make us like his son, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So notice the phrase, he says, sanctify them. That's God's project. That's God's goal for you and me. He wants us to be like his son. And then he says, sanctify them in the truth. That's God's means. He uses truth to sanctify us. And then he says, your word is truth. His tool, if you will. His project is to make me like Christ. His means is to use the truth. And his tool is the word of truth, his word. So with that in mind, let's just walk through it briefly. And all I want to do today is motivate you, really, and motivate me. And it's been very motivating to me this week to be thinking on this. In fact, I've been thinking about it for weeks, of just what it means to be sanctified in the truth, and specifically that his word is truth, and to exhort us with a practical exhortation to cooperate with God in his project in your life. So let's look at it. First of all, sanctify them. From all eternity, he has desired to conform us, Romans 8 says, to the image of his son. He takes us, we were messed up in sin, and he delivers us. Salvation is a term of deliverance. He delivers us initially from the penalty of sin. Theologians speak of justification. We're declared right with God. The Bible teaches it. We're set free, we're delivered from the penalty of sin. Then he begins the process of setting us free from the very power of sin, sanctification. And one day soon, we don't know how long, but we say, come quickly, Lord. In a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And when we see him, 1 John 3:2 says, we know that when he appears, we will be like him. glorification. So you have kind of the three tenses of deliverance: justification, sanctification, and glorification. God takes us broken in our sin. He causes us to be born again through faith in Christ. He begins the process of changing us and making us more and more like His Son. And one day, when He returns, we know, 1 John says, that when He appears, we will be like Him because we'll see Him as He is, and He will finish the work He has started in us. So it's a lifelong project. And Justin opened it up for us in Ephesians 4 last week, where he asked the question, you know, as you look back on your last year, are you more like the Lord? Are you more like Jesus? Has He been working in your life in 2019? And maybe the more important question, because 2019's over now, we are now in 2020, and the question is, what does He want to accomplish in my life this year? And we don't know if we've got the whole year or a few days. We don't know. We just know that His goal, His project, is to sanctify us. It's a lifelong project. And His means, notice, is the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. We did a whole series on this a year ago where we saw that God's means of changing us is through truth. He changes the way we think initially, and we sense our need for Christ. We quit thinking of ourselves as pretty good people, and we confess we're sinners, and we find our Savior, and we're changed from the inside out. And then His process of sanctification is through changing the way we think. In Ephesians 4, He said, renewal of the mind. In Romans 12, He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to start thinking the way God thinks, valuing the way God values, prioritizing the way God prioritizes, and we do that as we spend time in His Word. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Remember, Jesus said when He stood before Pilate, He said, that's why I came. For this I have been born, and for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And Jesus Himself is the truth. So the Bible's constantly focusing our attention on Jesus. He gives us this beloved ordinance where we can regularly be focused on Jesus. And Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. And as we focus on Him, as we put the eyes of our heart on Him, He changes us to become more and more like Jesus. And so Jesus said, that's why I was born, and that's why I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And you remember, as I'm quoting John 18, by the way, and He was standing before Pilate, and Pilate, you remember his response, what is truth? What is truth? Maybe you're asking that same question. How do you know where truth is? I mean, everybody, what is the truth? Can we even know if there's truth? And Pilate was standing in front of the truth incarnate. Jesus is the truth. And when he prays here, he doesn't just say, sanctify them in the truth, without pointing it out. Where do you find truth? The last phrase, your word is truth. If God's goal is to make me like Christ, and if His means is to use the truth will set you free, then His main tool is His word. And so I want to just kind of stir your mind on that, and I hope stir your heart as we think on this, because the Bible uses so many different metaphors to teach us the centrality of God's Word. My connection to God this year, if I have a blessed, a happy new year, a prosperous new year, it will be because I'm in line with God's goal, His project for my life, and I lay hold of Him by laying hold of the truth that's in this book, His Word. It's His main tool. If He calls me a soldier, which He does, He calls us soldiers. He calls us to be good soldiers. Then he uses the metaphor, you have a sword. And Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is a living and active, sharp, two-edged sword. If I'm feeling like I'm in the dark, he says, your word is a lantern. It's like it sheds light. If you're thirsty, his word is quenching, thirst-quenching water. If you're hungry, he says, you can't live on bread alone. You need every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're feeling like we do sometimes, just disoriented. You don't know which way to turn. His word corrects us with mid-course correction. I think of that verse in 2 Timothy where he says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. I don't know which way to go, and God's word sheds light on the issue and gives me discernment. I used to call it the compass verse because we don't know which way to go, and then we get the Bible out, and it's like a true compass. But most of us don't even know how to use a compass anymore. So I'll just say it's your GPS, you know. And then I'll tell you it's God's GPS because, you know, we get to where we can't read a map anymore. We just say, turn left, okay. Go 1.8, turn right, okay. And how many of you have ever been led astray by that GPS? You know, it'll happen, but not with God. I've never been led astray by God's word. So if you're disoriented, get the book out. And the divine GPS, you might say. And you think of all the different analogies God uses to get this driven into our hearts. 2 Timothy, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he gives several different metaphors of what a Christian should be like. He says, suffer hardship like a good soldier. And he teaches to be committed like a soldier, not entangled in civilian affairs, but really devoted to the Lord and be willing to suffer hardship. And then he says, like an athlete, you have to compete according to the rules. And like a farmer, you got to be hardworking. So he draws out different aspects of the Christian life with pictures. Turn over there because the fourth one is on my mind, 2 Timothy 2, Paul's last letter to Timothy. And I'm thinking of this along this line, God has a project in my life. He wants to change me, set me apart, sanctify them. In your truth, your word is truth. His project is to make me like his son. He uses truth, and his main tool is the word. Well, he draws a fourth analogy here in Timothy, verse 15, as a workman. A workman. And so he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. A workman is to be handling the tool skillfully. And the tool here is called, just like he did in John 17, the word of truth. Every one of us is called to be a good workman. Now, we're not all called to be literal carpenters. I happen to like hacking around with wood, and my dad taught me as a kid how to handle tools, and Jesus actually was a carpenter, amazingly. But he's not calling us to all be carpenters. We're not all extroverts. We're not all introverts. We're not all blonde. We're not all tall. You know, there's differences, but he's not saying this isn't a specialty here. He's saying we're all to be like a soldier, committed, like an athlete following the book, like a farmer, hardworking, and like a workman who handles the word of truth accurately. There's no Christian that is to be exempt from handling God's word accurately. He calls us all to be workmen. So don't write this off as something, you know, well, that's for pastors. I mean, Timothy was, you know, called to preach, and Paul told him to. No, we're to use God's word. And in fact, this is a key way that we cooperate with the Lord in this project that he has in our lives. I remembered back when I was a kid, my dad would be building things, and I'd be intrigued by it, and I'd want to be out there with him, and he'd never let me. He had just a few tools. I mean, I feel guilty I've got so many tools nowadays, you know. But he didn't have any power tools. He just had just a few hand tools, but he could seem to, like to me, he could build just anything. And so I'd want to borrow his saw. He'd never let me use his saw, you know, because he had a handsaw that had been his dad's. His dad was a carpenter, and it was a good saw, and it was sharp. And he knew if I got a hold of it, it wouldn't be sharp. I'd saw nails. I'd do whatever, you know, I'd break it on the cement like kids do. So he gave me his hacksaw instead. You know, you can't hurt a hacksaw. But I remember every now and then, I'd watch Dad, and man, he could hit a nail, and it just about three drives, and it'd go down. And he'd warn me. He said, "Now don't leave your trademark when you hammer." And those of you who fiddle around with wood, you know that the trademark is when you leave the hammer print. That's not good. Drive it home, but you don't drive it too hard. Don't leave your trademark. And so anyway, I'd want to help, and every now and then he'd give me a sack of nails and a scrap piece of 2x4 and just say, "Here, you can practice." And I'd sit and practice as a kid, he'd show me how to hold it and that sort of thing. Well, when I had my first grandson come along, he was six, and he wanted to build something, and I said, and I thought, "Oh, yeah, I remember." And besides, I was babysitting, and I had to keep him busy. So I thought, okay. So I gave him a piece of 2x4, and I actually took a felt marker, and I put 25 dots on that piece of 2x4. And then I gave him a sack of nails, and I said, "Here, you put these nails in those dots, and you drive them all the way in. And when you get them all done, I'll give you a penny for..." "Oh, wait a minute. I'll give you a penny for each of them. You'll get a quarter." Well, he was dumb and young, you know, and I'm cheap. I kept him busy for a good hour out there in the backyard driving nails into those 25 dots. And when he came back, he was so happy to be holding that 2x4, you know. And then I said, "You want to make another quarter?" Because I wanted to study. And he said, "Yeah." So anyway, at the end of the day, he came back. He had 100 of them. He had a buck. And he was shocked. He'd never had folding money before, you know. And so anyway, then later he could actually build things, you know. And but you have to practice, don't you? And I remembered that, and I thought of it how it is with anything you do. You don't just start building things. You have to practice. God says, "Use my word. It's the main tool. Sanctify them, Father, in the truth. Your word is truth." And then he says, "Be a good workman. Handle this accurately."
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled "Sanctified by God's Word," a message from John chapter 17. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. Southwest Bible would like to invite you to our outdoor Sunday evenings this coming August 7th through the 28th. We'll be hosting four different events this August, from our annual car show on the 7th to our first responders night on the 28th. Head over to our website at swbible.org for more information about times and events. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Sit under God's Word on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. Sit under the teaching of God's Word. And those who teach, and I'm speaking to myself, what has straw in common with grain? Use God's word. It's a sanctifying, liberating truth that God built into the very fabric of this book, so that when we open it, we hear the very voice of God, and he uses it to sanctify us. That's his project. He'll take us down different paths because we have different gifts, but he wants us all to become more like Christ. And when he comes back, he's going to finish the job, and we will be like him. But in the meantime, he said, and he prays, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth.
Join us again next time as we continue in John 17. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, Sanctified by God's Word. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.